Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. Akiva, how are you today?
I was better when the Jets were 2-0.
I was better the first time we recorded this podcast.
Yeah, well, I forgot to wear headphones. We got distracted.
We've had some technical difficulties. We've had some interruptions by family members on my end. So we got through about half of this week's games, and now we're starting over. So we're going to zip through the first few of these because we've already heard it, although our listeners haven't. Week three in the NFL, Akiva and I did not get to see that much of it because of the Jewish holidays. So week three in the NFL, I have traveled to the Holy Land to visit you, Akiva, although we still haven't seen each other and probably won't.
No, I have no plans to see you.
Exactly. Which is funny because I came to Israel, but I stayed about 5 miles away from you and never went to see you. And then you came to New York or last month and came all the way to the Upper West Side, but I was about a mile and a half away on the Upper East Side, but I made no further move beyond that. So we are recording this over the phone, which is why we've had to do it a couple times because of our technical issues. So week three in the NFL, because of the Jewish holidays, especially in Israel with the times difference, I got to see very little of these games. But I don't think we missed all that much. It was a pretty straight weekend. There were no huge upsets like there were the week before. Your Jets lost in a mild upset. We'll get to that one. My Vikings had another blowout of a supposed playoff team. I'm sure we'll get to that one as well. But let's jump right into it. Thursday night, we have a game between two teams that were supposed to be contenders in the AFC North, but have really fallen on hard times. In one case, due to a bunch of close losses, and in the other, due to injury. We have Baltimore going to Pittsburgh tonight. So I have Pittsburgh at 2.5 in this game. I figured Pittsburgh's the better team, and I'll deduct it a little bit because Roethlisberger's out. And what did you have for this game?
Yeah, I had the Ravens at -5.5 because I, as a Jets fan, got to see Michael Vick play last year, and he really didn't want to play. Like, when Geno Smith went out, he was very open about the fact that he had no intention of playing last year. He thought he was on scholarship and it was a bye season for him. But when he did play, he was atrocious. So, like, really incredibly bad. So Vic will be exposed over time. So there's no, even if the Ravens were 7.5-point favorites, I wouldn't blink an eye here.
Wow. So, yeah, so you are right. So Baltimore's favored in Pittsburgh. It's only 2.5. And so you get this one. When's the last time Baltimore was favored in Pittsburgh?
Probably a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, Pittsburgh had one or Baltimore has like almost never been really bad in the 2000s, but Pittsburgh has had like two bad seasons. So
this is pretty much always a Pittsburgh by three. And I think that shit. Uh-huh. What?
Uh-huh.
I'm recording a podcast
all
right now.
Right. Kobe wants to watch.
Okay. Hello, Kobe.
Busted.
Yeah. All right. My son is playing with my phone and he's smiling. Okay. You can play with the phone. You got to be quiet. Baltimore's favored by 2.5. So they think that Roethlisberger is worth at least about 6 points. The difference between Roethlisberger and Vic. I'm going to think that Vic pulls it out and Pittsburgh actually wins this game, though, which I guess would mean they're also going to cover this week. And who do you think is going to win this game?
Obviously, Baltimore is going to win the game.
Yes. Okay. So you definitely do not believe in Michael Vick. Okay. So now let's go to Sunday and we start with an early game because the Jets and Dolphins are in London. So for this one, there's no home field advantage, but I thought the Dolphins are a little better than the Jets. So I had Miami by 2.
It's hard to say. Again, the game's a neutral site, so nobody's getting points. So it's just who do we think is better? So I think the teams are really close. So I had it at a pick 'em.
And your Jets are actually favored by 1.5. So you get this one as well. The Jets did not look good last week, but the Dolphins really looked bad last week.
Yeah, the Dolphins were awful, but, you know, maybe the Bills made them look awful. The Jets got beat badly. They were down 24-0 at home to a very bad team with no quarterback. I think that the Dolphins are so desperate. Like, if they can't win this game, then Philbin is in big trouble. I don't know. Like, to me, Fitzpatrick can't throw the ball downfield. And you have this guy, the rookie Devin Smith running downfield and Brandon Marshall running downfield. And Fitzpatrick throws as bad a deep ball as I've ever seen. I mean, we used to have Chad Pennington who literally couldn't throw the ball deep, but at least we understood he couldn't do it. Like, Fitzpatrick tries, but he's just really inaccurate and he makes a lot of bad decisions.
Is he still holding on to this job? Because Geno's pretty much healthy, right?
Yeah, and he's not ready to play this week, but they have a bye next week. So there's a very good chance Geno will be ready the week after the bye or the week after that at the worst. I think at some point this season, Geno gets a crack. The problem is Geno's not good, But I do think Fitzpatrick's not good enough to hold off Geno for the whole season.
Well, look, so the Jets came out and said when they were 2-0 that it was Fitzpatrick's job even when Geno was healthy. But if Fitzpatrick has another bad game and they drop to 2-2, I think it's hard not to at least give Geno a shot, right?
It's hard not to give him a shot, but I do think that Geno will have a chance, because it's easy to say something when you're 2-0 and the going is good, but if they're 2-2 after this week, people are going to be looking for blood, and it's, you know, you have a new GM, a new coach, so they're not looking for their blood, so it's going to be the quarterback.
All right, so I think that the Dolphins are going to pull this one out, and maybe that means we'll see Geno. Who do you have winning this game in London?
Miami.
So you still don't believe in your Jets. A little pessimistic. Part of that is your concern for Chris Ivory, right?
Yeah, Chris Ivory is a really good player. He didn't play last week, even though he was active, and I'm going to guess he's not going to play this week with the bye coming next week. So, you know, they really need him because he's, you know, you have a lot of second and sixes with Ivory and a lot of second and nines with Bilal Powell, and, you know, we're not good enough to get out of second and nine.
Yep. All right, now we move on to the normal time Sunday games, and the first one is Jacksonville at Indy. Indy very lucky not to be 0-3 like Baltimore. They looked really bad. They came back, you know, late in the game to beat the Titans. And Jacksonville looked even worse. I mean, they just got demolished, but, you know, that was to the Patriots. So I have Indy finally getting off the schneid this week, finally looking like the real Colts. And I have them by 9.5.
Yeah, I think I had 9.5 also. Now that I'm thinking, Indy's not good enough to be favored by that many points. But in terms of the spread, I think were we both accurate?
Yeah, so we both got it on the nose. It's 9.5, so wow. Finally we tie. So you won the first two games. Yeah, I think, look, I'm not sure if I would pick Indy to cover, but we're both obviously picking Indy to win this one. And everybody thinks that at some point they have to look like the real Colts. And look, we both hate Ryan Grigson, but it seems like Pagano would lose the job before Grigson because, you know, Irsay is just insane, apparently, if he's not also high, which he might be.
I'm just so anti-Grigson right now. I want the Colts to lose every game.
Yeah. Pagano deserves better. He said, ahead of that Monday night game against the Jets, he was being interviewed on ESPN. And he says, this is my last job. And I would say, Chuck, I hope it's not your last job because you deserve a better job than this.
Yeah. How old is he that it's his last job?
Well, I think you say that because you think in your head, I'm going to be, you know, like Belichick. I'm going to establish myself here, especially when you got a young quarterback like Luck. He thinks I'm going to be here for the next decade. I'm going to win a couple Super Bowls and then I'm going to retire and go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he's not going to have the job pass this year just because there's so much bad blood between him and Grigson.
Yeah, unless somehow they turn it around and somehow he convinces.
Yeah, I mean, if they win the Super Bowl, you can't fire him. He's actually happy birthday tomorrow. Pagano's turning 55, so he's not that old.
Happy birthday. Look, well, they're going to win the division even if it's only at 8-8, and then they're going to get a home game, and then they're going to beat in the first round. You know, whoever it is, Pittsburgh or San Diego or Kansas City. All right, or maybe your Jets, but. Let's move on. Now we have no chance. Well, actually, it might be the next team that we're about to discuss, which is the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills at home against the Giants, they looked really good. I mean, they just destroyed the Dolphins on the road. And so Buffalo looks really good. The Giants beat the Washington in a really ugly game on Thursday night last week. So I had Buffalo by 5.
How insufferable do you think Rex Ryan is right now? I had the Bills by 4.5, by the way.
So I take this. It's Buffalo by 5.5. But Rex Ryan's always insufferable, isn't he?
Yeah, but I feel like he's going to be out of control with these press conferences if they go to 3-1.
Yeah, but everybody likes Rex Ryan. A confident, happy Rex Ryan is a good thing, I think. So.
Yeah, it's sad when his teams are doing poorly.
Yeah. All right, now we go to the game that's probably the least interesting of the week. Well, there's one or two other contenders for that. That's Carolina at Tampa. Carolina, the least impressive 3-0 team I've ever seen. They barely beat the Luke McCown-led Saints. And that was after a couple of other, you know, close victories against bad teams. Now they're playing another bad team, Tampa. And I actually gave Tampa the benefit of the doubt. They look pretty good with the exception of week one. And so I had this as a pick 'em, and I was way off.
Yeah, I mean, I had the Panthers by 3.5 because they're better.
Yeah, and apparently they are. The actual line is Panthers by 3, but it's in Tampa. So, that again, if we translate that, that would mean Panthers would be favored by 9 at home. And I don't see how they can. You know, Tampa Bay is better than the Luke McCown-led Saints, and Carolina barely beat them by 5. So, but yeah, people are not ready to bet on Tampa yet.
Yeah, but you have a opportunistic defense facing like a historically friendly to opportunistic defense quarterback.
Yeah, well, Winston, look, he was really bad in week one. He's been better since then. So I'm going to pick, I think I'm going to pick Tampa for the win.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Carolina here, no question.
Yeah, so I've now picked the home team, counting the Dolphins, the home team in every game. And you've picked the favorite in every game.
Fun fact. It's
probably the safer way to go. All right. Okay, so the next one we have is Philadelphia at Washington. Philly, you know, Sam Bradford still looks really bad, but the defense looks pretty good. And, you know, they finally got a win against your Jets last week. And Washington, of course, is still in disarray. Their quarterback still turns the ball over way too much. RG3 on the bench, having no involvement. So I got this one exactly on the nose. I said Philly by 3.
Yeah, I had the Redskins by 3.
Yeah, so you were way off on this one. So you think that Philly and Washington are even teams right now?
Yeah, Philly's awful.
Well, they just destroyed your Jets, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jets came back, but Philly definitely outplayed
them. It's true, but the Jets were missing, you know, two of their top three skill position players, and they're very shat. Like, they, you know, they don't have a tight end, so they're missing the running back, and they're missing one of their two receivers. There just wasn't much going on offense. They couldn't move the ball. And Philly, you know, Bradford threw a million times for 100 yards. Like, they're horrible.
Well, look, this is the game against Washington, whose defense is just atrocious. This is the game where Bradford finally has to, like, look good, right?
Yeah.
Or if he doesn't, I mean, the problem is that I think the issue in Philadelphia is that you have a coach, Chip Kelly, who obviously has a healthy ego. And because he traded so much for Bradford and invested so much in saying that Bradford was the guy, and you know, the drinkers of his Kool-Aid, like Shamir, our Eagles guest, also bought into that so hardcore that to give up this early and turn to Sanchez would I think almost, if he does that, Kelly's almost admitting defeat and the fact that he should probably be fired because he gave up Foles and a second round pick for him. But I think this is his last chance. If Bradford is a bad game here, they have to go to Sanchez in week 5, right?
If Bradford, Sanchez can't be worse than Bradford has played so far. Well, so Bradford has one more bad game.
We saw Sanchez last year in Philly. He's not good, but he was much better than Bradford's been so far.
Yeah, Bradford might just be totally shot.
Yeah. So I think Philly will win this one. You had Washington favored by 3 was the guess of your line. Do you think Washington's going to win?
Yes.
Okay. So and do you think that's the end of Bradford or is Kelly's ego too big?
Yeah. I think it's the end of Bradford. I think they go to Sanchez.
Wow. Okay. So pick up Sanchez now if you're in a two quarterback fantasy like I am. All right. Now we have the game that is the worst game of the week. And so with apologies to Carolina and Tampa, that's Oakland at Chicago. Chicago's offense, and granted they were playing Seattle, but they had the ball 10 times on Sunday. They punted 10 times. Now look, Jimmy Clausen didn't turn the ball over, but they went 3 and out every time. The part that I don't understand is when you lose a game 26-0, at a certain point you have to be going for it on fourth down, right?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Why are punting down 3 times?
Fox is pretty conservative, but it's pretty crazy.
Wait, you're referring to the political leanings of the channel, the news channel?
Oh, blech.
Sorry, that was loose. Well, look, the thing is that Chicago's also given up. They're trading away every movable piece.
I want to see them like Cutler get traded. I want to see the whole team. Like, keep, you know, well, Jeffrey well, and anybody
Matt,
who's a building
Matt
block.
Forte would be the next piece to go, I think. He's the most – like, for Matt Forte to go to a team, a good team that needs a running back, maybe like the Cowboys, maybe your Jets.
Oh, it would be fun to see a team go to, like, 1998 Marlins mode. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I don't think that Cutler – well, Cutler might be a tradable asset.
You don't think the Houston Texans would trade for Cutler? You don't think I could see Jerry – they can't afford it, but the Cowboys, if you know, Jerry Jones would do it if the Cowboys could put it in their cap.
Well, they do need a quarterback again. All right, so the thing is, Oakland went on – Derek Carr actually is looking pretty good. Oakland went on the road, and they beat the Browns, another bad team. And so I thought, well, Oakland's better, but, you know, Chicago's still at home. I had Chicago by 1 in this game.
I had it as a pick 'em, but I'm picking the Raiders to win the game.
Yeah, and we're both wrong. Oakland favored by 3.
Yeah, I mean, Clausen was so bad, they can't be favored. You can't be favored when you have Clausen playing right now.
Apparently. And Cutler might be back after this game, I think, is what I heard. But
Clausen has really never done anything to have one of these, like, assumed backup spots in the league. John Kitna.
We have to bring Ari Gleicher in here. Like, did they have some kind of competition for the third pick? Who knows? For the third quarterback, you know, for the second quarterback position.
Where's Caleb Haney? What's he doing?
Yeah. All right. So you're going to pick Oakland to win. I think I'm going to agree with you, actually. I'll say Oakland's going to win this game. All right, the next one we have is Houston at Atlanta. Atlanta's 3-0, but also, to be honest, hasn't been that impressive. They won very close games each of the first 2 weeks and got a little bit lucky, especially that game against the Giants. And frankly, in week one against the Eagles, if that game lasts another 5 minutes, they lose that game. And then in week three, they got the Cowboys, you know, with Brandon Whedon. And actually, the interesting thing in that game was the Cowboys' defense had looked pretty good the first 2 weeks. Atlanta destroyed them. They really moved the ball on offense. But their defense still isn't that great. The Cowboys, you know, without Dez Bryant and without Tony Romo, they moved the ball. You know, Whedon threw for 300 yards. But now they have a team coming in, Houston, who really has no quarterback. I mean, Brandon Whedon would probably be better than what Houston has. So I have Atlanta favored by 6.
I think I wrote 5.5.
Yeah, so this one's 6.5. So I get this one, which including ties is my 4th. So it's now 5-4, your lead. Look, you like Atlanta. You said, I think, that they're going to win 11 games now is your prediction?
Yeah, they're going to go 11-5.
And lose in the first round of the playoffs? Because, I mean, I don't think they're an 11-5 team, but they've banked those 3 wins.
Well, they'll probably be the 3 seed because I don't think anybody in the East is going to go 11-5.
Yeah.
And then so you get here's a good question. Let's say Seattle and Arizona, I think it's fair to say, are going to come out of the NFC West, right? And okay. Atlanta, Green Bay, and then I'm going to say the Giants. But whoever it is will be a 9-7 type team, I think. So then who is the 6th team? Like, your Vikings look awful. Is it the Rams?
Wait, hold on. My Vikings look awful?
They stink.
All right, so you I was expecting the mea culpa here. You know, Bill Barnwell, on his podcast yesterday, he said the Vikings, they both agreed the Vikings were clearly the 3rd best team in the NFC, is what they said.
Oh, that's lunacy.
I mean, the Vikings, based on the last 2 weeks, the only team that's looked better in the NFL than the Vikings, and I'm including the Patriots in this, the only team that's better is the Cardinals. So we'll get to, I mean, you know, if you want to bring up the Vikings now, again, in week one, and I said it was anomalous last week and you guys made fun of me, but given the fact that San Francisco's lost the last 2 games by 65 points, I think that will go down as one of the most anomalous games in history. The Vikings
in history.
Hold on.
You have a quarterback who can't complete a pass.
The Vikings blew out the Lions in week 2. They destroyed San Diego in week 3. I mean, they did demolished both those teams who were both above 500 last year. And in both games, they so beat up the opposing quarterback that he was injured after the game, frankly. And I don't root for injuries, but Stafford and Rivers were both, I mean, just their bodies were falling apart. The Vikings front four is incredible. They got no pass rush in week 1. Basically, week 1 was anomalous because everything went wrong. Adrian Peterson leads the NFL in rushing. He had 30 yards in week 1. The team had no sacks since Kaepernick in week 1. The last 2 weeks, they lead the NFL in pressures, knockdowns, hits, and sacks.
All right, you guys can play defense all you want. Teddy Bridgewater's numbers are abominable, and I want to see a 1 decent game out of Teddy ball game before, you know, we put them in the playoffs, let alone as the 3rd best team in the NFC.
Well, first
so
of
you,
all,
you like them as the 6th spot right now?
I mean, I think they have a very strong chance to win the division, and the Packers look really, really good.
Wait, to win the division that they're in?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's insane. The Packers are planets better than the Vikings right now.
Well, we'll see what happens when Green Bay comes to Minnesota. But the fact that they look so
good. You better turn it on in the first quarter because that game's going to be over by halftime.
Look, Akiva, crazy to me is you started this conversation by saying, quote, Minnesota's awful, which means you haven't seen or read anything about the games that they played the last 2 weeks.
To be fair, I did not watch I did watch parts of the first 2 and I did not watch the Chargers game. But I did see Bridgewater's numbers, and those aren't good.
But did you see the rest of the numbers from that game? Did you see that they beat San Diego by 3.5 touchdowns? I mean, that Philip Rivers had to leave the game, not because he was hurt, but because they were getting blown out by so much that they got him.
There's a difference between, like, I really like them to go 9-7 or 10-6 and win the wild card, and they're going to beat the Packers. That's lunacy. Are the Packers going to – who else is beating the Packers this season?
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback on the planet, but the Packers didn't look that good. They beat the Bears by a touchdown. Everybody else has beat the Bears by 40, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Rodgers looks incredible, but the Packers' defense is a little bit suspect. The running game is a little bit suspect.
I mean, yeah. they beat the team that everyone thought was the best team by double digits. So I can't really complain about their schedule so far. They're gonna win by 1,000 points this week.
All right. Well, everybody's beating San Francisco by 1,000 points.
I'm curious to see what St. Louis can do But you guys don't play them till right before Thanksgiving. The Vikings don't play the Packers. So
yeah, well, what's interesting to me is that your conclusion is, I don't care that the Vikings have looked incredible the last 2 weeks. Bridgewater's bad, therefore they're bad. And I think it's fair to make the opposite argument. The Vikings have looked incredible the last 2 weeks, despite the fact that Bridgewater hasn't been good. And so once Bridgewater improves, that's how this team goes from a 9-7, 10-6 team to a team, you know, that's even significantly better than that.
Well, the only thing I'll say is, like, the NFC might become last man standing.
But look, Bridgewater's not – look, again, you know, to bring up the numbers we discussed in the preseason, Bridgewater in the second half of last year was an elite quarterback by the numbers. And that was with the same crappy receivers, with the same offensive line, and without Adrian Peterson. And Adrian Peterson, oh, by the way, leading the NFL in rushing right now. And that's in two games because week one he only had 30 yards. So – you know, Bridgewater has not looked good, but the Vikings have still looked down in each of the last 2 weeks. And so that's why I'm very confident, because Bridgewater is going to improve. How much he improves is an open question. And maybe he won't improve as much as I hope. But anyways, this was a conversation about the Atlanta Falcons, I think. it's funny. I was totally, I'm a little bit emotional with the Vikings. I totally jumped off the bandwagon, and I told everybody they were going to go 4-12 after that disaster in week one. But the last 2 weeks, they've been better than even I thought they'd be in the preseason. So I'm definitely back on board, obviously. But let's go back to Houston and Atlanta. So we both think Atlanta's going to win, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. All right. KC at Cincinnati. The Bengals, the Bengals, they have an argument for the second best team in the AFC after the Patriots.
Yeah, but can I tell you something funny? So I was looking at like the schedule and the announcers and stuff just now. And on Awful Announcing, I saw a link for ranking the NFL's 32 head coaches, which actually is a podcast we probably should have done now that I think about it during 32 Fans in 32 Days, right?
Yeah.
But interestingly, the article is written by Andrew Juge, our Saints fan.
And what did he say?
Well, I bring it up now because tell me which is crazier. Because here are the two craziest rankings. Guess where he has Andy Reid ranked. Guess where he has Marvin Lewis ranked.
Well, I'll tell you where they should be ranked, but you said they're crazy. So I would say Andy Reid should be ranked. I'd say I'd put him at about 8 or 9. His clock management is awful, but I think
He's more accomplished than most of the guys. But if you had to win a game, you'd pick probably at least a dozen guys ahead of him.
If I had to win a game, yeah, but running an entire team, he obviously knows what he's doing. He was successful in Philadelphia for a dozen years, and he's been successful in Kansas City. So I'd say Andy Reid was about 7 or 8, and I would say that Marvin Lewis, look, he's never won a playoff game, but the Bengals, I guess I'd probably put Marvin Lewis around average. I'd say about 15.
Yeah, so he has Lewis at 14. I would have Lewis at 32. No, Caldwell's worse. Philbin might be worse. Lovie Smith at this point is totally done. Jake Rudin is worse. Bradley's worse. Tom Sula's worse. So they're and who knows if Chip Kelly's bad. I might have Dan Quinn at like number 5 already. He's so good. Oh, and Pettine hasn't shown me anything with the Browns. That's for sure.
Wait, Dan Quinn is so good because the Falcons squeaked by a couple wins against bad teams.
Oh, I love Dan Quinn. I'm a big Dan Quinn guy.
Right, but
anyway,
he hasn't proven it yet.
Guess Andy Reid. He has second, the number 2 coach in the league.
Number 2?
Number 2. All right.
That's insane. I mean, like,
yeah, ahead of John Harbaugh, ahead of Mike Tomlin.
Belichick's obviously won, right?
Yeah, obviously Belichick, but he's Peyton 3 is a Saints fan. I would probably put Peyton closer to 6, 7, 8 range. But
yeah, Tomlin and Harbaugh have to be like in the top. Like,
yeah, Harbaugh has to be 2. Tomlin has to be 3. I think.
Wow, where does he have Zimmer? Out of curiosity,
He has Zimmer at 25.
What? Look, I can buy the argument that any new coach...
He did an admirable job last season considering the Adrian Peterson situation. It remains to be seen if he's the right man for the job, though.
Well, I mean, what he's done with the defense has been really incredible.
Yeah, and also Arians is 11. I would put Arians higher. It's hard to grade Coughlin because on career, you know, you put him probably 2, worse 4. But right now, Coughlin isn't a good coach anymore, I don't think.
Well, Andrew Juge also, with no disrespect intended, but a lot coming out, he said that the Saints were going to, you know, they're 10-6 or 11-5, and they're only 3. So I'm going to disregard his opinions for the moment.
What is your son saying about the top 30?
Sorry,
coach?
Can you hear him in the background?
Just a little.
Yeah, all right. Cody, get out of here. All right, so Kansas City at Cincinnati. I have Cincy by 4.5.
Yeah, I had Cincy by 4.5 also. So
all right, so we tied this one. Yeah, no, it's Cincy by 4. So we tied this one. Kansas City, by the way, and I really don't believe in them. And so I was only doing 4.5 because I thought other people still buy them too much. They lost to the Broncos at home. What? They got destroyed by Green Bay, and they got some garbage points to make it look a little bit closer. But Alex Smith, he's really not good, and it's really a problem. Their offense is just limited because of him.
Yeah, people think that Alex Smith is shot right now, and I don't, you know, I need to see a couple more weeks, but I would be nervous if I was a Chiefs fan right now about Alex Smith.
Yeah, I mean, look, he finally got a touchdown to a receiver this week in garbage time. Zach Sosna, our Bengals fan during the preseason, he wanted to come on today, and unfortunately, because the schedules didn't work out. But Zach, here's a shout-out, and if your team wins here, which they should to go to 4-0, and they continue to look really good as the second-best team in the AFC, we will have you on. I promise you that. So I'm predicting the Bengals to win this game today. On Sunday, excuse me.
Yeah, Bengals for sure.
Okay. All right, so there we go. Excuse me. Now we have Cleveland at San Diego. Cleveland, terrible, you know, bad in week one, bad in week three. In week two, they won, albeit against another bad team. Now they go to San Diego, which is the best team they've played so far. And San Diego, look, San Diego's a good team, but they've had a tough schedule. They beat the Lions pretty easily. But then, you know, as I said, this past week in Minnesota, Philip Rivers just got, you know, really beaten up. And it was such a blowout that he left the game early. But I think that San Diego gets back, you know, sort of like Indy. This is the week when everything works out for them again. I have San Diego by 7.5 at home against Cleveland.
Yeah, and I had San Diego by 7.
Yeah, so I get this one exactly at 7.5. So I'm pulling up close to you. Hold on. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for me and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for you. Oh, so we do tie exactly now. We're tied at 6. Now we have Green Bay at San Francisco. Green Bay, you know, notwithstanding that rant in which I said I thought the Vikings had an outside shot at the division, which was slightly hyperbolic.
No, it was actually like sociopathic.
All right. Green Bay's going to go 14-2 probably. But in San Francisco, but again, San Francisco beat the Vikings badly in week one. And since then, has been the worst team in the NFL. Unquestioned.
Oh, no question. Right? Yeah.
They lost by 25, then they lost by 40. So this week, what are they going to lose by 50?
I mean, the problem isn't just that they're losing. The problem is the quarterback has been so miserable.
I mean, oh my. I think 4 of his first 6 passes last week were interceptions.
Is that bad?
That's not good.
That bad?
Yeah. Was that wrong? should I not have done that? Kaepernick's saying in the coaches room, look, I got to tell you, in my previous job, that was not frowned upon.
That was not frowned upon. We could throw interceptions all day. Yeah. Interceptions. That's what we did.
Yeah. Well, what's worse, 4 interceptions and 6 passes or having sex with a maid on your desk when you're still a temp?
When you're a temp.
Kaepernick's not a temp, though. That's the problem. So I think that what he did is actually worse than what George did.
You don't think it's Gabbert time?
Well, here's the thing. There's no number at which I would pick San Francisco. If this was like 15, well, if it was 15, I'd pick San Francisco. But I guess 9.5.
Yeah, so did I. Wow, we were dead on a bunch of picks.
We were dead on with each other. The line is 8.5, which is crazy. 8.5? Really? San Francisco 8.5?
I mean, the Packers haven't been blowing people out, like you said. And
San Francisco,
McCarthy's not a blow people out type of guy. He's not a Belichick. So they could take their pedal. Kaepernick is a great, like, fourth quarter down by 20 quarterback.
Well, then explain why they've lost their last 2 games by 65 points. look, but San Francisco, in their only game at home this year, they won by 17 against the 2015 NFC North winners to be. So, all right. So but we're both picking Green Bay to win this game, obviously, right?
Yeah.
San Diego's going to win the other game against San Diego, or against Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now we have the best team in the NFL, according to Akiva. That's Arizona.
Oh, no question.
And they're at home against St. Louis.
I'll say the Pats and the Cardinals are 1A, 1B, and the Packers are number 3.
Yeah. I cannot understand what's going on with these Cardinals lines. Each week, they've been like 5 points too low, I thought. And so I've been betting on them hard. In my pick 'em pool, I've made them my confidence pick every week. And I'm like, all right, St. Louis just lost at home. They scored 6 points. They're going at Arizona. Arizona won by 40 last week. So I said, conservatively, Arizona's going to be favored by 8.5.
Yeah, and I had Arizona by only a touchdown.
And you were right. It's 6.5. Can you explain to me, how is that possible?
I mean, the Cardinals aren't some offensive juggernaut that's just going to blow people away.
But they've had a bigger run scoring differential in the first 3 games than any team in NFL history. So they have been blowing people away.
Yeah, I think that people are very curious about the Rams, similar to the Ravens in the AFC. Like, the Rams, to me, if you're not in the Vikings bandwagon like a sane person, The Rams are probably the best bet for that sixth spot.
All right, can we please make a bet on that? St. Louis against Vikings. Please, let's make a bet.
Well, the problem is it's the third team in that division.
No, I don't care about that. Who has a better record at the end of the year?
Well, the Vikings, I can't just make an even bet because the Vikings have are 2-1 and the Rams are 1-2.
Well, but you said that sane people think the Rams are the favorite for the sixth seed. So that means they're going to make up that game.
Well, I said sane people don't think the Vikings are the favorite.
Well, so then who do sane people think?
I'd give the Rams a few points. It's really between them. If it's not going to be the Bears or the Lions or the Niners, it's not going to be the Panthers. The Panthers are the other team. The Panthers are fine. They're going to be around 8-8, so they're going to be in the fight for that sixth seed.
So you don't think the Vikings are the favorites for the playoffs right now for a while?
At 2-1. If I would give them the most equity, but it would still be like 20% equity.
All right, so 20% for them. And then you said a few points for St. Louis and Carolina.
Well, I'd say like 19 for St. Louis and Carolina.
So St. Louis, a game down from the Vikings, is basically just as likely to make the playoffs as the Vikings, you think?
Yeah.
All right, so then forget about the first 3 weeks. The rest of the season, more wins. Let's make a bet here. Vikings versus Rams.
All right. Bet.
All right. The winner has to travel to the house of the loser for a podcast.
Okay, deal.
Within the next 12 months.
Deal.
Done.
Good.
All right. I'm going to put this one on the board. Let me just write it down here. Weeks 4 on. More wins. Min or St. Louis. Loser travels to winner's house for a podcast by October 2016. That's the biggest problem with that bet is the overconfidence in the life of this podcast, I think.
that's actually a good point.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So so that means that St. Louis at Arizona, your two teams that you love then. So who do you have winning this game?
Ooh. I have Arizona winning because they're better.
Well, so that's going to make it even tougher for St. Louis to catch up to them.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was a little hesitant about the bet because they're probably going to go to 1-3. But
yeah, they're definitely going to go to 1-3. Yeah. That's my confidence pick. 6.5 points. Womp. Yeah, I cannot understand how the Cardinals are, you know, giving less than a touchdown at home the way they've been the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
All right. So now we have the Vikings up next on the schedule, Minnesota at Denver. The Vikings have looked very good in their last two games. Denver's 3-0, but hasn't looked good. Their defense is actually really, really good. But Peyton Manning is struggling. The running game is still just abysmal. They're averaging, you know, less than 3 yards a carry. If we're worried about health for Peyton Manning, given what has happened to the quarterbacks in the last two games against Minnesota, this is a tough one for me because I love Peyton Manning. I don't want to see him hurt, but the Vikings have been putting a hurt on quarterbacks.
I feel like this is a threat almost.
No, I love Peyton Manning. I don't want to see him hurt. I really don't. But Philip Rivers left the game. Matt Stafford was injured. What's going to happen to poor 38-year-old Peyton Manning?
Yeah, I think he's going to beat the Vikings. That's okay. What's going to happen.
Yeah. All right, so I had Denver by 7.
I had Denver by 8.5.
Yeah, because you think the Vikings are somehow the worst team in the NFL.
Basically.
So it's actually Vikings. It's Denver by 6.5.
Yeah, I was too high, obviously. I should have said 7 also.
Yeah, so I get this one. Yeah, and I was too high as well. But I think I still respect Peyton more than anyone should, frankly, given what he's done the last 3 weeks. Look, if the Vikings win this one, you'll finally have to concede the fact that they might actually be a good team.
Yes. If they win this game, I will concede that they're competent.
Competent. So blowouts against Detroit and San Diego and a win at Denver. That's competence.
Show me something, Teddy Bridgewater. How are you winning a playoff game right now?
Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson and a host of other mediocre quarterbacks have won Super Bowls, right?
Not in this league. When Trent Dilfer won the Super Bowl, there was no Aaron Rodgers. You know, Manning and Brady were not as good as they are now.
They were better, I would say, actually.
No, Brett Favre. No, Brady. That was not Brady's peak. Are you crazy?
Yeah, but Peyton Manning was already a star. It was his third season.
Brady wasn't even playing it. First of all, Manning got better as he aged. And there was no depth of QBs. You know, there wasn't a Breeze. There wasn't like just ton of like Eli and Roethlisberger.
Well, in the last 5-10 years, significantly worse quarterbacks have gone to the Super Bowl. You know, the Bears went to the Super Bowl with a terrible quarterback. Kaepernick went to the Super Bowl, frankly. All right. Anyways, we're going to have to – we'll let the Vikings prove themselves. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and assume that given the holidays, you simply haven't seen anything from the Vikings last two games. And all I've done is look at the box score, the first line, which is Bridgewater's numbers, and then failed to look at any other number. Mm-hmm. Because the defense, the top seven, the front seven is probably the best front seven in the league through, you know, this point of the season. And the running back's the best running back in the league.
Yeah.
And so we'll have to wait and see if Bridgewater can do something. But I have Denver winning this game as well, of course. And we'll see. So now we get to the Sunday night game, which is so much worse than NBC thought. It's Brandon Whedon and Luke McCown.
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, they thought, ooh, this is, you know, easy money. We got Romo and Breeze throwing haymakers. It's going to be 31-28 in the third quarter. And, I mean, now they're looking at one of the worst games you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, so I had New Orleans favored by 2.5.
Yeah, I had the Saints by 3.5, but, you know, I don't read too much into any of this stuff.
All right, so they're saying Saints by 4.
Yeah, that's
explain,
fair. I mean,
explain that one to me.
Because he looked competent, and Whedon people are nervous about.
Whedon threw for 300 yards. If you're going to say McCown was competent, Whedon was competent. And Dallas is a much better team. You know, the rest of the team, New Orleans is 0-3. They're done. I'm gonna pick the Cowboys to win this one on the road. Nope. Actually, you know what? No, I'm going to take it back. I'll give New Orleans the win. But I that 4 points is too much.
Yeah.
Who do you see winning this game?
The Saints.
Yeah, it's worth a sigh. All right, so now you're up 9-8 going into this last one. So I need a win here. Detroit at Seattle. Detroit, who knows what to say about them? They're now 0-3, but they've played San Diego, Minnesota, and Denver, three teams who most people see as pretty good teams. You see them as two good teams and one bad team. And now they go at Seattle. This Detroit schedule, not doing them any favors. I say Seattle by 10.
Yeah, I had Seattle by 11.5.
And so, yeah, that 11.5 is going to be significant for you because the actual line is 9.5. So I win this one. We both have 9 wins this week, including ties. But the tiebreaker I use is points off. Who was closer total? And total in the 15 games, I was a total of 22.5 points off.
Yeah.
And you were 23.
Oh, well, I don't like this tiebreaker. I think we just tied.
So that is the closest. You know,
you can't make up a tiebreaker after the fact.
Well, no. I've been doing this. You know, me against Bill against Sal for 5 years, and for 5 years, this is the closest game. There's been weeks where there's a tie many times. And it always goes the points off, but it's never been separated by half a point. So this is the closest lead we've ever had. So I squeaked this one out by you. So I take a 2-1 lead, and that's because you didn't make any picks in week 2. And I have to listen to the Sal and Bill podcast later today to see what their picks were, to see who wins our 4-way battle. But we can mark it as a tie if you want.
Win's a win.
All
right,
so
now, fine. No, like we can. That can be the tiebreaker from now on. But I don't know if that can be the tiebreaker retroactively.
It wasn't retroactive. Again, I've been doing it that way for 5 years.
All right, so you give yourself the win. Give yourself the win.
Would you have made your picks differently if you knew that was the tiebreaker?
Everything. I would have picked all 16 games differently.
Well, there's only 15 games because we have a couple teams on bye. But all right.
Oh, so, I got the Patriots destroying the Titans bye this week.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Okay. So Seattle's going to win this game, obviously, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. So there's really not a lot of the Jets at Miami is a game that you care a lot about, but I don't think most people find that particularly interesting.
Yeah, but I will say people don't find it interesting, but people also love the free extra game.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, what's the game of the week? Baltimore-Pittsburgh.
It's a tough week.
Baltimore-Pittsburgh destroyed by quarterbacks. Dallas and New Orleans destroyed by quarterbacks. I'd say probably KC at Cincinnati.
Oh, no. KC doesn't excite anybody. Giants-Buffalo will be very interesting, I think.
So what is it? It's Vikings at Denver, probably.
Week 5 is better. Week 5 has Seattle-Cincy at 1, Green Bay-St. Louis at 1, Detroit-Arizona is not even horrible. The problem is the premier game at 4 o'clock was New England-Dallas, which would have been a delight with Romo and is now an abortion without him. And then you have San Francisco-New York as the Sunday night game.
Ooh.
But you have a good Monday nighter. Pittsburgh, San Diego is a decent Monday nighter.
Well, San Francisco, New York. I remember the preseason. I said it was a terrible game.
Yeah. Oh no. It's a disaster. It was a bad decision. You should never have Tom Sula on Sunday night. And there you go.
By the way, I got to give props to Fibar, our 49ers fan, because he predicted San Francisco to beat the Vikings Week 1 and then lose the next 8 games in a row, and that looks really on the mark.
Yeah, he might have gotten it.
Yeah, and again, the Week 1 game was really – after we saw Weeks 2 and 3, it really doesn't make a lot of sense for both teams. So Credit to FEMA there. His team really is terrible. That's not a game anybody's going to want to watch. And the Vikings are on an early bye next week, so week 5 for me is going to be spending time with the family.
Oh, man, me and you, we're both on a bye week. I don't even know if we're going to be podcasting. We're going to be on vacation.
Yeah, well, you're traveling back in London. All right, I got another kid yelling at me, so I think we're going to wrap this one up. So that's it for our week 3 in review and our week 4 guessing the lines. And Bill and Sal are back doing it as well, but, you know, we'll keep the competition going for a little while. Who do you think is going to get more downloads?
I'd say we'll get one for every million, one listener for every million Simmons has.
Actually, it's a good question. What is he getting in terms of downloads? Because what is HBO paying him for? Let's say he gets, 2 to 3 million
No, HBO, his podcast is on his own. He's like Adam Carolla. Like, it's independent. It has nothing to do with HBO.
Oh, really? So what is he doing for HBO?
He's got a TV show for HBO. He's got like a Joe Buck Live type show.
Yeah, but he was so bad for TV on ESPN. Like, who's going to tune in to HBO to watch him?
Yeah, it's not a great idea. And he's not writing columns, which ostensibly is his number one thing.
Yeah, well, his columns haven't been number one for a while. It's been the podcast. But
a picks column, we're not getting picks from Bill Simmons? Like, that's a little weird.
But if they're not getting – well, Bill Barnwell's looking at Grantland, and Barnwell, you know, he might not be as entertaining, but he's certainly much better at it. So if HBO is not getting any money from his podcasting, wow, I did not realize that.
Yeah, they're just paying him to have a show. And he's doing video podcasts for them, but not
a questionable decision.
Cousin Sal Pollock. Yeah, it's going to be bad. It's not it will not end well.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can last longer than them. But maybe we should contact them about joining their podcast network. You have it in with Cousin Sal, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, good they can have if you want to hear a much more mediocre and unprofessional version of the same thing on the same network.
Yeah, that's us.
Yeah. All right, so that's it. Good luck to your Jets in London. And I will be traveling back across the pond with them next week. And I will speak to you next week from, I still might be here. But I might be in New York, depending on when we get around to recording this next week.
All right.
All right, well, have a good night.